Last night, 16 juz of the Quran was recited in Tarawih Salah. In the beginning, the completion of the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was Hazrat Khadir. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was told by Allah Ta'ala that there is one servant of ours who is more knowledgeable than you. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was then directed to go to a place where the two oceans meet, and there he will find the servant. Musa alayhi salam set off with his servant to meet this banda, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala had given him a sign that there was a fish that was placed in a basket that they were carrying, and where the fish would come out from the basket and go into the water, that was the sign of the place to meet the person. So anyway, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his servant set off, and they stopped at a rock to take some rest. And after awakening and proceeding, they felt tired and hungry. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told his servant to bring the fish. Then the servant remembered, he said that, "Don't you remember where we stopped to take rest? The fish had made its way into the water in a very strange way." So this was the sign that they were looking for. So they retreated on their footsteps and went back to that rock. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then met Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. So he requested him that, "I would like to stay with you so that you may teach me of the knowledge that you have been granted." But Khadir radiallahu anhu told him that, "You will not be able to have sabr with me. And how will it be possible for you to bear and to have sabr over what your knowledge doesn't encompass?" Musa alayhi salam said that, "Inshallah, you will find me to be patient, and I won't disobey you in anything that you command me." So then Khadir told him that, "If you want to follow me, then the condition is you cannot ask me regarding anything until I myself mention it to you. So you don't have any permission to question anything I do." So he set off on their way, and first three incidents occurred. The first incident was they boarded a ship. Some people gave them a lift on their boat. And as they were going, Khadir caused some damage to the ship, pulled out a plank and made a defect in the ship. So Musa alayhi salam was surprised that these people have given us a lift and they are poor people and you're causing harm to their boat. This is their means of income. So Khadir told Musa alayhi salam, "Didn't I tell you will not be able to have sabr?" Musa alayhi salam said, "Okay, but now give me a second chance. Don't take me to task for forgetting. I forgot. And make my method easy for me." So they carried on. After traveling for some while, they came across a boy who was playing with other youngsters. Khadir then proceeded to take the life of this boy. He killed the boy. Musa alayhi salam was even more shocked. He said, "This is a pure soul, innocent soul. He hasn't committed any wrong, and you've taken his life. This is something very grave, very great that you have done." So Khadir again reminded Musa alayhi salam that, "I have told you before, you won't be able to have sabr with me." Musa alayhi salam said, "Yes. Now if I ask you again in future, then you have every right to tell me to leave. You have now reached a point of excuse from me." They continued traveling and they came to a village. They asked the people of the village to host them, but the people of the village refused to entertain them. As they were leaving, there was a wall that was about to fall down. So Khadir, he proceeded to fix and erect this wall, put the wall straight. Musa alayhi salam again couldn't take it. He said that these people, they didn't host us, they didn't want to entertain us, and you are doing kindness to them. If you wanted, you could have taken some payment, some wage for fixing the wall. So Khadir then told Musa alayhi salam that, "Now this is the point of departure between me and you. We will have to separate. But I will inform you of all of these incidents that occurred, what was the reality behind it. As for the ship, the boat, then these poor people, they were using the boat to acquire their sustenance. But further on downstream, there was a very Italian king who his habit was that he used to take all boats that would pass by that were in a good condition. So therefore, I made some defect on the boat. I caused some harm to the boat. which wasn't very major, it was easy to fix up. But now when they would pass the king on seeing that the boat had a defect, he wouldn't have taken the boat, and in this way their means of livelihood would have been safe and secure. As for the young child, the boy whose life I took, so his parents were believers, but there was the fear that when this child would grow up, then he would become a means of his parents falling into disbelief and into kufr. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, Allah ta'ala wanted, that Allah ta'ala in exchange for this son, Allah ta'ala would give them someone and some better offspring who would be more loving and more kind to the parents. And as for the wall, so it belonged to two orphans who were staying in the city, and their inheritance had been buried under the wall. If the wall was to fall down, then the inheritance, the treasure that was buried under the wall, would be exposed, and people would have taken it and usurped their inheritance. And their father was a pious man, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that their treasure should be protected. So this was the reality of these incidents which you could not make sabr over. So from this here we come to understand that the events that occur in the world, there's definitely wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it. We, if we have to only look at the outward, we won't be able to understand why are so many of these events occurring. Why is so many people going through lots of difficulties? They are believers, they are mu'min, but we see they are being oppressed, so much of difficulty meted out on them. So sometimes a person starts to question it, why is all of this happening? So from this incident of Musa alayhi salam and Khadir, we understand that in all the happenings in the world, there is the hidden wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that man with his mind cannot understand. So we have to hand over all affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and console ourselves that definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some great wisdom in whatever is happening which we are unable to understand. Then the third major incident mentioned here in Surah Al-Kahf is the incident of Dhul-Qarnayn. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ Dhul-Qarnayn. So the Jews have asked concerning Dhul-Qarnayn. They told the people of Makkah, they asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning Dhul-Qarnayn, who is this Dhul-Qarnayn? So Allah Ta'ala says, سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. I will mention to you regarding Dhul-Qarnayn. So Dhul-Qarnayn was a pious, righteous king that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted lot of power, and he ruled over two kingdoms, it seems. That's why he got the title of Dhul-Qarnayn. Qarn means a horn, or it also signifies power, kingdom, dominion. So because he ruled over two great kingdoms, he subdued them, that is why he got the title. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran three incidents of Dhul-Qarnayn, three journeys of his. One was towards the west, and he went as far as he could travel, so to say, where the sun was setting, the end point of where he could reach. And there he found a group of people, and Allah Ta'ala mentioned how Dhul-Qarnayn dealt with them in a just and a righteous way. Then his second journey was towards the east, where the sun rises, and when he reached this place, he found a savage group of people who didn't have, they were not civilized, they had no homes, etc. Allah Ta'ala mentioned very briefly concerning this journey of his. Then the third journey he made was when he reached a group of people who complained to him that there are two tribes, the Ajuj and Majuj, that are causing corruption, wreaking havoc, and troubling us. So is it possible for you that you build for us some sort of barrier between us and these tribes so that we can be saved and protected from their mischief? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how Dhul-Qarnayn constructed a huge wall made out of iron between the two cliffs. So he sort of blocked these tribes, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, from crossing over and causing corruption and troubling the people on the other side of the wall. Here, Allama Kashmiri rahimahullah has mentioned that one misconception that comes in our mind, firstly concerning Ya'juj, Ma'juj, some people have the idea in their mind that these are a different type of creation, maybe with big ears and short bodies, and they put their ears down and sleep on their ears. Very, very funny pictures and images they have in their mind, whereas there's nothing like this mentioned regarding them in the Quran or in the Hadith. They were normal human beings like us. Secondly, there's a misconception that people believe that this wall of Dhul-Qarnayn exist somewhere, and Ya'juj Ma'juj is still locked up behind this wall. And so then many objections are raised against people with, against this belief that people have, that nowadays we are able to see the whole world through Google Lens, etc. And where is this group of people, huge tribe that is locked up behind the wall? They don't exist. So Allama Kashmiri mentioned that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only mentioned that Dhulqarnain, after constructing this wall and looking at this huge and strong wall that he had constructed out of steel, he said that this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي, when the promise of Allah ta'ala will come, then Allah ta'ala جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ, Allah ta'ala will cause this wall to be smashed, to be also broken down. Nothing remains forever, everything will have to perish. This is the only thing which is mentioned. Allah Ta'ala is not mentioned that this wall will remain right until Qiyamah or close to Qiyamah, and then Ya'juj Ma'juj will come out. Rather, in the Ahadith, if a person looks at the Ahadith, there are indications that the wall of Ya'juj Ma'juj might have already most probably opened up. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day woke up in the morning and he said, "Waylu lil Arab, today from the wall of Ya'juj Ma'juj a small amount is already opened," and he indicated with his fingers. So it seems that the wall already is open. So it's not necessary that the wall still exists until today, and Ya'juj Ma'juj are still locked up behind this wall. Yes, one of the signs of Qiyamah is that close to Qiyamah, the two tribes, Ya'juj Ma'juj, or the descendants, which are, so they are also part of Ya'juj Ma'juj, they will spread out on the earth. This here is mentioned in the Quran. So they will spread out on the earth in great abundance. This is from amongst the signs of Qiyamah. Then towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have iman and who do righteous deeds, كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا, then for them will be جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, as a, what we say in Urdu, مِهْمَان نَوَازِي, as how a person welcomes his guest, and as a gift to them, Allah ta'ala will grant them جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and therein they will stay forever. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا, they won't seek to go to any other place, they won't want to move away from there. But for this a person has to make an effort. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي, a person who has hope and who is convinced that he is going to meet his Rabb, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then he should do righteous actions, he should do good a'mal. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and he should not associate any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should stay away from shirk, and a person should also stay away from riyah and making doing actions for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this year we have been taught the dua that a person should make morning and evening. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam, that a person by reading this dua, then he will be protected from all types of riyah, show, and ikhlas will come into his amal. Then is the next surah is Surah Maryam, Surah Maryam, in which the incident, the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. The surah begins with first the incident of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Maryam radiallahu anha was his niece, so she was staying in his care in Baytul Muqaddas, in Masjid al-Aqsa. She had a room where she used to be engaged in the ibadat of Allah. So Zakariya alayhi salam, it so happened whenever he used to come to her, he would see that she has fruits out of season, and she's staying in a closed room, nobody entering. So he asked her that, "Where do you get that fruit from?" So she said, "Hada min indillah, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala side. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Allah ta'ala provides for whomsoever he wishes without any hisab." So Zakariya alayhi salam, on hearing this year, then it struck him in his heart, and he had reached old age and he didn't have any offspring, any children. So now he turned his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he made dua to Allah that, "Oh Allah, bless me. Inni wahana al-azmu minni, I have turned old, my bones have become weak. Washta'ala al-rasu shayba, white hair has spread on my head, my hair has turned white. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا, and whenever I call out to you, oh my Rabb, I have never ever been disappointed. And now I fear on my on those who have ta'alluq with me after me. There's nobody to carry on my work, so grant me a someone who will inherit and who will be a successor to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah ta'ala accepted his dua, and in his old age, he mentioned he was about 120 years old, Allah ta'ala granted him a son, Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam. Then even more amazing than that is the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And here, in great detail, Allah ta'ala mentions how Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha was alone, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to her, and he gave her the glad tidings of a son that will be, a child that will be born to her. And Maryam radiallahu anha was perplexed, worried that no man has ever laid a hand on me. What are the people going to say? So in great detail, the incident of how Isa alayhi salatu wa salam was born is mentioned. This is a very important ruku, an important passage of the Quran that we should present to the Christians when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had made hijrah to Abyssinia, and the king of Abyssinia had called them, summoned them to his court. Then Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu, on explaining about Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a passage of the Quran was also recited to the king, in which surah, these ayat of Surah Maryam was revealed, and it really touched the hearts of the king and the courtiers who were Christians at that time. They said, and the king said, that what is mentioned here in the Quran concerning Maryam radiallahu anha and Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam himself doesn't say anything more than this here. So it is a very important passage of the Quran that we can present to the Christians. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about a few other anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, Idris alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah ta'ala says that these are the ones whom we have favored from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, from those whom we carried on the ship was Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, from the progeny of Ibrahim and Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam. And we had selected them, we had guided them. But فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. After them, such successors came, such people came after them. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ, who destroyed salah. They didn't uphold the prayer, and they didn't keep to salah. And when this will happen, what will the result be? وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. Then a person will follow his desires. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. So they will have to face the punishment of Jahannam. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Except whoever makes tawbah, whoever repents, and he brings iman and does good actions, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive those people, and yadkhuluna al-jannah, then they will enter Jannah. The next surah is Surah Taha, and Surah Taha, major portion of it is to do with the incident of Musa alayhi salam, which is mentioned in many places in the Quran. Here also in Surah Taha, in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the purpose of revealing the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We have not revealed it to you that you may fall into difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, on getting the Quran, he would recite the Quran in long rakats of Tahajjud Salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have a great desire that people should accept the message of Quran. And sometimes he would fall into great difficulty taking this burden upon himself. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the reason why we have revealed the Quran to you, but we have revealed it tadhkiratan, as a reminder, he may yakhsha, for people who will have fear. تَنْزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. This is a revelation from that being who has created the earth and the lofty and the high sky. الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. Allah Ta'ala, who has established himself on the earth. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs everything in the heavens, everything in the earth. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Whatever lies in between. وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. And whatever lies beneath the earth. All belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ. If you speak loudly, فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware. Allah knows what is secret. And even more secret than that, more hidden than that, the thoughts that are in a person's heart, Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of this. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. This is Allah. There is none worthy of worship beside Him. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Him belongs the beautiful name. And these ayat also were the ayat that is famous, that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he set out to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stopped by his sister's house, then he heard these ayat were recited to him, and they changed his heart, until when he reached the ayah that إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهِ. Verily, I am Allah. لا إله إلا أنا. There is none worthy of worship beside me. فَعْبُدْنِي. so worship me, become a servant to me. Then his heart had changed and he accepted Islam. Allah Ta'ala says, أَقِنِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. The purpose of salah is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In salah, we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without remembering Allah, thinking of Allah, then what is salah? Salah doesn't have any life in it then. So in our salah, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the incident of Musa alayhi salam is mentioned. That has part of it has passed before. When Musa alayhi salam was sent to, was given two miracles to go to Fir'aun. One was the staff and the other was the shining hand. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned some of the favors that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon Musa alayhi salam. One was after he was born, and Fir'aun had seen a dream that that a child from the Bani Israel would be the cause of him losing his kingdom. So he took it upon himself to kill all the male offspring of Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this favor that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon Musa alayhi salam after he was born, how Allah Ta'ala protected him, that Allah Ta'ala had inspired his mother to put Musa alayhi salam in a box in the river, and his mother put Musa alayhi salam in the box and put the box into the river. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that how Musa alayhi salam floating in the box reached the palace of Fir'aun, and he was picked up, this box was taken out of the river, and Fir'aun had the box open and he saw that there was a child in it. Fir'aun immediately feared that this could be the same child that my kingdom will be destroyed on his hands. But Allah Ta'ala, Al-Qaytu alayka mahabbatan minni. Allah has put a special form of love over Musa alayhi salam, that on seeing him, Fir'aun's wife immediately fell in love with the child, and she persuaded her husband that let us keep the child, we can adopt the child, we don't have any children that can become our, we can take him as his son. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then caused Musa alayhi salam to be brought up in the palace of that person who had tried to kill him. So this is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala wants to do something, Allah ta'ala will do it, and nobody will be able to stop the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the palace of Fir'aun, Allah ta'ala brought and caused Musa alayhi salam to grow up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident where Musa alayhi salam had the where Fir'aun arranged for the competition against the magicians, and Musa alayhi salam emerged from there victorious, and how the magicians accepted Islam, and Fir'aun, despite the threats of Fir'aun, but they refused to give up this iman that Allah Ta'ala had put into their hearts. And then after Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel crossed over the ocean and reached into the promised land, the land of Sham, and Fir'aun and his army was destroyed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Samihi, when Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Mount Tur, and Samihi, who was so to say a munafiq, he made a calf with the jewelry that the Bani Israel had brought with them. He formed a calf for them, and he got them involved in the worship of the calf. So we also understand from here that the connection between the Israelites and Israel and the worshippers of the calf, those who make ibadat of the cow, this is from that time then. So there's no surprise if it is still in existence nowadays. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this mentioned concerning Qiyamah and the conditions that would prevail on the day of Qiyamah, and the incident of when Allah Ta'ala commanded the Malaika to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, and Shaytan, who was with the Malaika, refused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent Shaytan was then banished, and then Shaytan was fed to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam to eat from the forbidden tree, and then Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and Hawa radiallahu anha were sent down into this earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ, whoever will follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, he won't go astray, he won't fall into difficulty. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ, but whoever turns away from the dhikr and advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the Qur'an and the scriptures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً بَنْكَى, then a person will have a straitened, a very narrow, a difficult life. In this world also he might have all the means, all the asbab of comfort and of having a pleasurable life. But Allah Ta'ala says, no, مَعِيشَةً بَنْكَى, he will have a straitened, a tightened, a narrow, constrained life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى, and in the akhirat also, we will resurrect him blind. He was blind spiritually in this world. In the afterlife, then he will be resurrected blind. He will say, and he will object that, why have I been resurrected blind? Whereas I was seeing in this world. It will be said to him that, no, my sign had come to you, but you chose to ignore it and to forget it. So today you will also be forgotten and mercy will not be shown to you. So to save ourselves from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, تَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا Allah Ta'ala says that don't become enamored by the beauty that has been and the wealth and the adornments of this world that has been given to different people, different groups of people. This is all a test. Allah Ta'ala is testing them by means of it. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. The risk and sustenance that has been given by Allah, that Allah has given, this is much better. It's more lasting. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And command your family to establish the salah. وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And you yourself remain steadfast upon it. So a person should perform salah and make an effort on those around him so that an environment is created, because in an environment it becomes easier for a person to practice on deen. So here we are commanded that together with us practicing on deen, performing our salah, we should command those that are around us, our family members, to also remain steadfast on salah. لا نسألك رزقا. Allah Ta'ala says, we don't ask you for rizq. نحن نرزقك. We will provide for you. So whenever the family of Rasulullah would go through difficulties in terms of their risk, Nabi would recite this ayah to them and remind them that establish the salah. So show that there is a direct link between a person establishing salah and his risk and sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and grant the whole ummah the understanding and the tawfiq to come onto five times salah and on complete deen.